This is Honda Classic Live, your weekly trip around the golf world. Originating from the unofficial golf capital of the world, Palm Beach County.
The first golf fan not only got what he deserved, but also a lot of golfers. The pros, the names in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast are going to have to start reevaluating their relationship with the first golf fan. Honda Classic Live, Saturday morning. Welcome in. Hope you're off to a great start to your weekend. It's ESPN 106.3, the free ESPN app, and on your smart speaker, hey Alexa, hey Siri, hey Google Play, ESPN 106.3. I am Ken Levickin. For the next hour, it is the only golf radio show in Palm Beach County. Sean Fairholm, Global Golf Post, he's our golf insider. He'll join us later on, as will Rick Caro, the sports professor, to focus on the sports business side of golf. But this week, the PGA announcing that it did the only thing it could, and that is take away the 2022 PGA Championship from Donald Trump and Trump's Bedminster course in New Jersey. After everything that occurred a week ago with the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol and the words of encouragement and incitement prior to that from Donald Trump that led to his second impeachment, the only president ever to suffer that sort of infamy, the PGA voted to take away Bedminster as the site of the 2022 PGA Championship. Not only that, but the R&A overseas, they run the Open Championship. They have taken Trump's Turnberry out of the rotation as well for the Open Championship. And this is the only thing that they could do. Because if you're Donald Trump, and I know that Trump is very synonymous with golf, especially here in Palm Beach County in the Treasure Coast, someone who has made Palm Beach County his new home. He's got the West Palm course. He's got the Jupiter course. He is ingrained in the game, going down to Dade County at Doral, Trump National. He is golf, and he has been around golf for a long time, and he has rubbed shoulders with some of the greatest in the game, those who run the game. But the PGA had to take the 2022 PGA Championship away from him. And so what this comes down to is stick to sports, because that's been a common refrain. And I know in this area we have a lot of Donald Trump supporters, and that's fine. That's fine. I will try and navigate through this delicately, okay? But a common refrain from Donald Trump and his supporters over the last several years has been stick to sports. Don't kneel during the anthem. Stick to sports. Don't make social justice calls. Stick to sports. I don't want to see your T-shirt about Black Lives Matter or about racial inequality. Stick to sports. But all the while, Donald Trump was living a double life, because he wasn't sticking to sports. He had been involved in sports. A man who loves the game of golf, plays the game of golf often, owns resorts and courses that are part of major discussions, or at least in major rotations like Turnberry. But he went into politics, and in many instances, divisive politics. And he hardly stuck to sports, because he constantly had his ear out for those who may be criticizing him in sports, whether it was Steph Curry, whether it was LeBron James, whether it was anybody in sports who he wants to have a relationship with. He loves to be around famous, beloved people if they were critical of him. Instead of just taking it like a grown-up, it was calling them names. It was headed to Twitter. It was banishing them from the White House. And so he hardly stuck to sports. And in this past week, where things absolutely crossed the line, across the line to a point that we've never seen in this country, the PGA had to do what it did, and that's take away the PGA Championship from him. And so what we find ourselves now in is a spot where there are a lot of golfers in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast, and specifically Jupiter Island, Palm Beach Gardens, that area, names like Tiger Woods, names like Brooks Koepka, who have golfed and continue to golf with Donald Trump, that continue to have public relationships with Donald Trump. They have a decision to make. And obviously, this is up to their individual desires. This is up to what they believe in their brand. But if the Donald Trump brand is now too toxic three times over for pro golf, I'm talking about Doral getting the WGC ripped away after he made the comments about Mexicans back in 2015 when he kicked off his presidential campaign, got it ripped away, and ironically moved to Mexico City, or now losing the 2022 PGA, while for the time being, according to the RNA and for the foreseeable future, no longer being into the discussion for the Open Championship. If Donald Trump is too toxic for pro golf, I think for the well-being, the good of Tiger, of Jack Nicklaus, of Brooks Koepka, probably time to separate yourself, at least for the time being. You could even take the RNA approach for the time being, for the foreseeable future. But if Donald Trump's too toxic for golf, he should be too toxic for the biggest names in the sport as well. Don't tarnish your brand. Don't tarnish your brand because you want to continue to be enamored by the Trump brand. Because the Trump brand, especially after last week, and you can agree with them, you could be glad he's president, you could think that there was a stolen election, though there's no evidence of that. What happened last week, and a president that's been impeached for a second time, it's probably wise right now from a sports standpoint, because I'm sticking to sports, it's probably wise to keep your distance for a while. He is toxic, and you don't need that sort of nonsense. You absolutely don't. And it's why the PGA got out. It's why the RNA got out. And that's your opening drive here on Honda Classic Live. And it's presented by Tire Kingdom. Whether you need new tires, an oil change, new brakes, wiper blades, or an inspection, make sure to stop by Tire Kingdom. Their convenient hours and locations make it easy to get the services you need. They've always got great deals on the top tire brands. Schedule an appointment today. Also, a brake check and $60 back after rebate. If your brakes are squeaking or your stopping distance has gotten longer, might be time for new brakes. You got to be safe out there. Make an appointment at Tire Kingdom for a free brake check today. And if it is time for new brakes, you can get a $60 rebate on select brake pads. Go to Tire Kingdom, get the curbside service, log on to TireKingdom.com, find the location nearest you, and get your appointment set up today. So Sean Farham, Global Golf Post, will pick his brain about who should now host the 2022 PGA Championship now that Bedminster is no longer the host. Also, Justin Thomas, problems for him. Very, very inopportune moment to have the mic pick you up, making a homophobic slur on the course last weekend. Justin Thomas, what were you thinking? And the apology? Not good enough. The Jupiter resident still has some mess to clean up. We'll discuss that next. Also, Rick Haro, the sports professor, talking about the sports business side of golf later on in this morning show. I'm Ken Lavica. It's Honda Classic Live on ESPN 106.3. I need to make sure to remind you, and there's going to be information coming out soon, but yes, the Honda Classic is going to have fans. In 2021, the PGA Tour has accepted the plan that was provided to them by Ken Kennerly, Executive Director Andrew George, the Tournament Director of the Honda Classic, and that's right, the biggest golf spectacle in South Florida, the Honda Classic, will have fans, limited capacity, but fans and hospitality at PGA National, March 15th through the 21st. Keep checking thehondaclassic.com for more information. But Ken Kennerly was on this show last week, broke the news, and we cannot wait. The details are coming. TheHondaClassic.com, TheHondaClassic.com. The Honda Classic is going to have limited fans and hospitality in the 2021 edition. Ken Lavica back with you, Honda Classic Live, until 10 o'clock, ESPN 106.3, free ESPN app, and on your smart speaker, hey Alexa, hey Siri, hey Google Play, ESPN 106.3. Before we get to Sean Fairholm, our golf insider, Global Golf Post, Justin Thomas, the Jupiter resident, continued what was a pretty rough week for golf. Whether it was Gary Player and Annika Sorenstam the day after insurrection at the Capitol that has led to President Trump's second impeachment, them rolling into the White House and getting their Presidential Medal of Freedom, or the PGA having to make the decision to rip Bedminster, Trump's Bedminster, off of the major list in 2022 for the PGA Championship. This has been a real rough go of it for golf this week. Not great in the headlines. And it was Justin Thomas at the Century Tournament of Champions in Hawaii who, in the third round on Saturday, fourth hole, missed a seven-foot putt and uttered a homophobic slur. Yes, that one. The one that begins with F. And it was caught on the NBC Golf Channel microphones. After the round, Justin Thomas with the Golf Channel, apologetic.
It's inexcusable. I just apologize. I mean, there's no excuse. I'm an adult. I'm a grown man. There's absolutely no reason for me to say anything like that. It's terrible. I mean, I'm extremely embarrassed. It's not who I am. It's not the kind of person that I am or anything that I do. But it's unfortunately, I did it, and I have to own up to it, and I'm very apologetic.
We learned a lot through adversity. I know it's not been a long time, and you're still digesting this, but what do you think you're going to learn from today?
A lot. I mean, it's like I said, it's inexcusable. I mean, I'm speechless. There's nothing... I found out when I got done on the golf course or when I got done with my round. I mean, it's bad. There's no other way to put it. I need to do better. I need to be better. It's definitely a learning experience. But I deeply apologize to everybody and anybody who I offended, and I'll be better because of it.
So Justin Thomas again, being extremely downtrodden, he is upset. He is apologetic, and that was the statement, what he told Golf Channel that he ended up going with, and that was his explanation for the homophobic slur. Again, uttered that homophobic slur, the one that begins with F, at the Century Tournament of Champions in Hawaii, and really overshadowed what was a great finish won by Harris English. Justin Thomas was in the mix going into Sunday, but the story of his tournament was that. The PGA Tour called it, quote, unacceptable, and Justin Thomas has gone about his business. Now, I don't want to rip Justin Thomas apart. I don't want to make a sweeping judgment about the man, because by all accounts, and I don't know Justin Thomas personally, but I know many people who do, and by all accounts, great guy who can be intense on the course, as we've seen. But he also is a very, very good person. Treats people the right way. So I'm not going to just judge him solely off of what happened on Saturday. However, what I am going to do is ask him to do more than just saying he's going to learn from this. Just saying that it's unacceptable and it's, quote, not who I am. Because if you're going to say that word, and you're going to say it in such a weird place for you to even have it pop into your mind, it sort of is who you are to an extent. I have never in my life, and I have said a lot of stupid things, and I admittedly have said a lot of offensive things, and have become wiser for it over the last several years, where I really watch my language. Not just around certain people, but at all times. I don't want to be the person who makes someone feel awful, or I don't want to even give off any sort of impression that I may have an inkling of any prejudice. I do not. I take pride in that, and I'd like to keep it that way. But I've never in my life, in a fit of anger, had that word pop into my brain as something to call myself in a derogatory manner, to call anybody else in a derogatory manner, or to just blurt out. How in frustration over a putt does that word pop into your brain? So Justin Thomas has a little self-reflection that needs to be done. So again, I'm not going to judge the man. I'm not going to call him a monster. I'm not going to say that he should be suspended. I'm not going to say that he needs some quote-unquote time off from the PGA Tour. Doesn't need a fine. Doesn't need anything like that. And the story has largely been lost in the ether of all the other chaos going on in this country right now. But what I think Justin Thomas needs to do, and this is just friendly advice, I don't think this needs to be mandated, but friendly advice. He needs to do a deep dive and understand why that word is even floating in his vernacular. There's no reason for it. He didn't say it to be homophobic. He wasn't directing it towards someone who is gay. But the fact that it exists in his mind, in his brain, it's definitely not the first time he said it. It's probably not the first time he said it or thought about it in the recent past. For it to be there and for that to come out of his mouth involuntarily after missing a putt, there's a deeper issue there. And it needs to be eliminated completely from his vernacular. So I'm glad that Justin Thomas is going to learn from it. I'm glad that he recognizes and did so immediately that it was inexcusable. I'm glad that he says it's not who he is, but it kind of is who he is if that is the first word that's going to escape your brain. All the brain synapses are going to cause your mouth to open and that word to come out. So I need more than just an I'm sorry, I'll learn from Justin Thomas. I need him to take a little bit more accountability for that and follow up with something that says, I've used this word in the past. I understand that it's not acceptable in any way, shape, or form, no matter the context. It has lived in my head, and I'm going to do everything I can to erase it from my head. Justin Thomas, this isn't done yet. This isn't done yet. That interview with the Golf Channel, extremely apologetic, clearly felt very, very badly, but this isn't over yet. Because I need to know that you actually are going to learn from it, and what that means is that you expunge that word from your brain. Because, again, that is not a normal thing. What Justin Thomas did is not normal. To get angry missing a putt and say that F-word homophobic slur, that's not common. That's very rare. And Justin Thomas, I'm going to go on with my life regardless. But Justin Thomas, I think, and I would feel better about Justin Thomas overall if he went a step further and understood why it was there and what steps he could take to make sure that that word wasn't in his head any longer. Honda Classic Live here on ESPN 106.3. When we come back, Sean Fairholme, Global Golf Post, globalgolfpost.com. What did he think of Justin Thomas's apology? Also, what we opened our show with, Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, Brooks Koepka, any of the pros that live in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast, so many of them that have played rounds with Donald Trump, they need to separate. The PGA finally has said we can't do dealings with Donald Trump any longer after last week and the insurrection at the Capitol and the second impeachment. The PGA took Doral away from him a couple of years ago. The WGC, the RNA says, nope, no open championship for Trump's Turnberry. If he's too toxic for the PGA, he should be too toxic for our golf heroes and our major golf personalities here in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. We'll get Sean Fairholme's thoughts on that and more when we return. Honda Classic Live on a Saturday morning on ESPN 106.3. Our golf insider is Sean Fairholme, and he's about to join us here on Honda Classic Live, Saturday morning on ESPN 106.3. And a reminder that the Honda Classic, we talked about it earlier, but again, it's worth reiterating, the Honda Classic is going to have a limited capacity, fans and hospitality, March 15th through the 21st, the 2021 Honda Classic at PGA National. Check out thehondaclassic.com for more information, and that is going to be rapidly developing over the next couple of weeks. All right, Sean Fairholme, read all of his outstanding work at Global Golf Post, globalgolfpost.com. He has two new pieces up this week on globalgolfpost.com, and he joins us, as always, on Honda Classic Live. And Sean, I really appreciate you jumping on, as always, and I opened the show by talking about Donald Trump. And he has always been linked, at least in the last 20, 25 years, with the game of golf. He is an avid fan of the game. He has Bedminster. He has Turnberry. He has the two very notable courses in Palm Beach County, in West Palm, and in Jupiter. But because of outside golf occurrences, the insurrection to the Capitol last week, a second impeachment, it's really, and it became untenable for the PGA to continue to have a relationship with him. So they stripped the PGA championship for Bedminster. The RNA acts on Turnberry, and Donald Trump, it seems like, is getting phased out of professional golf now. And my point was, if he's too toxic for the PGA and for the RNA, perhaps names like Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods and Brooks Koepka, guys who have played regularly with Donald Trump, have publicly had a relationship with Donald Trump, perhaps he should be a bit too toxic for them as well. It's tricky. It's a weird spot that golf is in with Donald Trump, who's so high profile and has, again, always been linked with the game. What do you make of what's happened over the last couple of days between golf and Donald Trump?
Well, you know, we've seen this coming for quite a while. Even Rory McIlroy last year was even talking about how playing with Trump in the past, he felt was a mistake to do that and that he would not do it again. And he's kind of distanced himself from him since then. And, of course, we saw it with what happened with Doral over the past few years. Yep. You know, I know everybody in South Florida has missed having a golf tournament, you know, in Miami-Dade. I know we still have the Honda Classic in South Florida, but now that tournament over the past few years, of course, it went to Mexico City because of concerns over sponsorship with that WGC event at Doral. And now it's actually coming back to the other side of it, of South Florida, and a concession over in just south of Tampa now. But we've seen this coming for a really long time. Obviously, you know, it's a difficult topic. It's something that, you know, you wonder whether the PGA of America should just continue and go forth with this event, because I'm sure there are a lot of great staff members at Trump Bedminster. I'm sure they have a great, you know, greens crew. I'm sure that the head pro, the assistant pros have worked very hard for this opportunity for the 2022 PGA Championship. But it just makes all the sense in the world that they would continue to distance themselves and to go in a new direction. They have plenty of options in terms of playing other golf courses. There's just no need to be associated with somebody who kind of stands for everything that golf is against, what golf wants to be in terms of being inclusive, in terms of being diverse. So this really was kind of an easy decision in my mind. And I believe, you know, the RNA, I don't think they're going to be back to Turnberry anytime soon as well. And that's a real shame given the amount of history that golf course has with, you know, Tom Watson winning there, with Jack Nicklaus playing well there as well. It really is sad that this has come to this, but it does make a lot of sense that you know, the PGA of America, other organizations would distance themselves. And as you said, other players, Rory, Tiger, Koepka, other people who have played with him, I think it will make sense for their own personal brands to continue to distance themselves from him.
Yeah, and we know that the PGA Tour does not want to get involved in the political realm. And you were critical of the PGA Tour about how they handled the racial injustice, the social justice topic over the summer. They tried, but it was underwhelming. And so they would much rather stay away from things like this, and it is much easier for them to just take steps back, and that makes them a smart business, but also I think it also lays out a blueprint moving forward that the PGA is trying to wash itself of the reputation of being a true boys club and a true white boys club, and nothing that's happened over the last 4 years has really helped that. And they've had to make some tough decisions, and it's not going to be popular in some pockets, but truly it feels like they're getting this one right.
You know, there are 29,000 PGA professionals. I am one of them. But let's be honest, out of those 29,000, almost all of them are white male. Many of them are between the ages of 50 and 70. Yeah. It's a very homogenous group. The PGA of America wants to go in the exact opposite direction of that. Not that all of those PGA professionals are not worthy or that they're not valuable, because they absolutely are. But we need more than just the exact same PGA professional over and over and over again. And we need more of people who are just playing the game in general to be of different races, different ages, different genders. So it makes all the sense in the world that this would happen. Golf has a long way to go here. It really, if you think of all sports, golf is kind of the one, maybe more than any other, that has so much to deal with in terms of battling just perception about being elitist, being, you know, you have to be rich in order to play the game. It's expensive to play the game. There are a lot of different perceptions and in some cases myths that golf has to overcome. So there's just no sense in trying to tie yourself to a political figure that is, you know, that many people see as going directly against that. I applaud, you know, all the PGA Tour leaders, all the PGA of America leaders, and all golf associations for definitely distancing themselves from him.
Very well said by Sean Fairholme. Again, our golf insider here on Honda Classic Live, and he's got some new work up on globalgolfpost.com that we'll discuss in a minute, because it applies directly to Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. But now that there is an open site for the 2022 PGA Championship, where do you see that going?
You know, one option is Valhalla. Valhalla is owned by the PGA of America. It's in Kentucky. That course has been very good to them. Rory McIlroy won an epic PGA Championship there back in 2014. Tiger Woods won an epic PGA Championship there in 2000 over Bob May. The Ryder Cup was there in 2008. It was a very smooth and successful Ryder Cup there. So it would be very easy for them to go back to Valhalla. You know, they are built out all the way to 2034 in terms of future sites. Oh. So they're going to a lot of different places. Of course, they're building a golf course in Frisco, Texas, where their new headquarters are going to be. So that option won't be available in 2022 quite yet. But there are a lot of places they're going to: Congressional, Olympic, a lot of these places that I'm sure would be fine with hosting a golf tournament in 2022. Golf courses that have a long storied history of hosting major championships that would not take, you know, an extensive process of getting ready. They'd be pretty much major championship ready as they come. So I think they're going to have plenty of options. Those are just a few off the top of my head, but I'm sure there are others that they're going to be researching over the next few months.
I had touched on what happened to Justin Thomas over the weekend at the Century Tournament of Champions in Hawaii, and man, was it a rough week for golf. Just all of the things that we've had to recap here off the top, but his use of the homophobic slur after missing a putt on four on Saturday. And my point was, Justin Thomas, by all accounts, is a very good guy. And I want to stress, I do not know him personally, but I know many who know him personally, so I'm hearing secondhand how outstanding he is. But he was obviously very remorseful after the round on Saturday. I'm just wondering, like, how that word is one that comes to mind in the midst of a frustrating golf moment, and how much further reflection he needs to understand why that word not only came into his mind, but came out of his mouth to react to something that happened that's so trivial, like a missed putt. I just wonder how Justin Thomas is going to be received here for the next couple of weeks, or how he handles any continued backlash from this.
You know, I've talked to him a couple of times at PGA Tour events. He seems like an awesome guy. Everything, you know, around him would point to him being a really good person. He has had a couple of different, you know, outbursts, if you will, during his career. You know, there have been a few moments like that where he hasn't been able to handle his temper. That does happen, you know, when you're playing at the highest level of PGA Tour golf. It's understandable that you're going to have a couple of moments like that. Of course, saying something like he did is totally inexcusable, as he, you know, those were his words, of course, after right. the round. I think he fully understands that there's just no place for him to say that. I do think, you know, one of the things that I struggle with just in our culture overall, sports or otherwise, is that when somebody makes a mistake, that we don't allow them to redeem themselves. I think we should allow a guy like Justin Thomas to to redeem himself.
Agreed.
And I think we should kind of allow this, you know, let's talk about this. Let's, just exactly what you said, that was very well said. You know, where did this come from? Why was this something that popped up into his mind? Why did he think it was okay in that moment? Of course, you know, in retrospect for him, he's saying that it wasn't a good thing, but it did come up into his mind. And for, there are a lot of people out there who, you know, if they get frustrated, that is a word they say, and it's just not, there's absolutely no reason why anybody should say it. And let's have a conversation around it. I think he's willing to really talk, you know, in depth about why he said it, what he can learn from it and move forward. Because I think his learning opportunity could be a learning opportunity for, you know, other PGA Tour players, other golfers just at large. I think it could be a good moment overall. And I think that should be something we're all striving for, to turn something like that into yep. something positive.
Without question. And again, if we can follow up with him and get a deeper dive into why that word's even in his vernacular, if he has the want and the desire to take that next step, I think there is everything right about that. And I think that would provide some nice closure and provide, like you were saying, a true learning experience, not just for him, but for a lot of people who follow the game of golf and beyond. Honda Classic Live here on ESPN 106.3. Sean Fairholme is our golf insider from Global Golf Post and globalgolfpost.com. Now some actual golf. We have the Sony Open this weekend, but Harris English, that was a really entertaining last Sunday at Century and a very deserved winner last weekend.
Yeah, you know, it was a fantastic final round. We had Joaquin Niemann starting five strokes back and just kind of making an incredible run throughout Sunday, shooting that 9-under 64. Beautiful, gorgeous conditions at Kapalua. It's known for being pretty windy. They had a little bit of wind on the last day, but for the most part, the conditions were calm, and the players took advantage of it, you know, going all the way to 26 under par for four rounds. Just shows how good they are in soft, windless conditions. So, you know, Niemann had that great run, missed the putt on the 72nd hole, really kind of ruined his opportunity, and then did not hit balls in between that stretch where, you know, he finished his 72nd hole and was waiting for the leaders or the final groups, I should say, to come down. Probably a little bit of a rookie mistake there by Niemann, but by not kind of keeping loose in that moment, because it kind of cost him when he hit a poor second shot in the playoff. But Harris English, I know, you know, we talked about him briefly last week. This is a guy who came out of the University of Georgia, was very highly recruited to that school and very highly viewed at just coming out onto the PGA Tour, won twice early in his career, and then had a little bit of a lull during, you know, 2017 to 2019, but really turned it on last year, competed in a couple of majors, got into contention, and this was coming. You know, this was absolutely something that I think a lot of people were expecting to see Harris English kind of get back into the winner's circle. It had been about 7 years since he had last won, so no surprise at all. He's a big, strong guy, a great ball striker. I think we're going to see him pretty consistently throughout this year, kind of get himself into contention. I would say I'd be pretty surprised if he doesn't win at least one more golf tournament this year. He really should be a guy who is a top 25, a top 30 golfer in the world. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of him.
So you've been busy during the course of the last week or so. You were in Jupiter, and we've discussed this on this show, but you're not just a PGA Tour. You know the women's game. You especially know the amateur game, and you are on some amateur duties this week in Jupiter. You have two new pieces on globalgolfpost.com. If you could just give us a little bit of a preview of these pieces that you've posted.
Absolutely. Well, let's start with the National Senior Junior Championship, which is a golf tournament at Dye Preserve in Jupiter. For those familiar, if you go head west on Indian Town Road, you'll run out into the Dye Preserve out there. A great tournament that pairs elite mid amateurs in the game with elite senior amateurs, and they play a few different formats: best ball, alternate shot, and scramble over a 54 hole event. It really is a cool tournament to kind of see senior amateurs paired with younger players, and there are all sorts of different teams, guys who know each other from different states. This golf tournament was won by Evan Beck and John Hurst, a couple of guys who had successful amateur careers, tried to make it as professionals, and and then have now gone back into the amateur game, have full-time careers outside of golf, of course. So they won the tournament. But my column this week off of that event was about Alan Peake, who is a senior amateur golfer, and he's considered the Iron Man of senior amateur golf at the moment. He's played 105 tournaments since the start of 2018, and this is a really kind of interesting character. He was a restaurant owner for many years in Georgia, and also a politician in the Georgia House of Representatives for 12 years. So had a very busy career, and has now decided to just go full time and into amateur golf, and has played very well. Has won a few big events. He won the Golf Week Senior Match Play National Championship a couple of years ago, and has really just kind of enjoyed playing senior golf. And my other story this past week was about Curtis Cup captain Sarah Ingram. The Curtis Cup is a kind of a Ryder Cup style event for female amateur golfers. It's a lot of college-age female amateurs who are going to be kind of the next future stars of the LPGA Tour. And my profile was on the captain of that team, Sarah Ingram, who she got out of golf kind of in the mid-90s after having a very successful career, was the number one ranked amateur, female amateur in the world after winning a few U.S. women's mid-amateurs. She played in a few Curtis Cup teams herself, was a low amateur at the 1995 U.S. Women's Open that was won by Annika, so had an incredibly successful career. But then got out of the game due to injury, and then wanting to raise a family. And so she was kind of out of the game for about 20 years, but has come back in it, really has enjoyed kind of a renaissance in the game, playing herself in senior women's amateur events, and then also now captaining this team and really having a fun time kind of getting to know younger female amateurs who are kind of right where she was back about 25 years ago. So it really is a couple of fun stories, and it's always great to write about amateur golf because these are people who they're just playing it for the love of the game, really. You know, they're just a part of this to really share experiences with fellow golfers and to compete, and just for the love of competition. So it really is a joy to write about.
And I think maybe more than ever during a pandemic, the amateur game becomes that much more important to continue to exist and continue to have stories like this made public, because it is part and a very important part of the golf tapestry, and especially here in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. And these two features are on globalgolfpost.com. Sean Fairholme, one of the best in the business, and that's why he's our golf insider here on Honda Classic Live. Sean, glad you were able to come down our neck of the woods and give us some really good insight on what's going on down here, past some bad moments during the week when it comes to golf. You brought us some really nice stories at globalgolfpost.com. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next Saturday, okay?
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Sean Fairholme, Global Golf Post. And again, check out all of his work at globalgolfpost.com. It's a Saturday morning. We're talking golf. We do it every Saturday. It's Honda Classic Live, the only golf radio show in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast on ESPN 106.3. We can't talk golf on a Saturday without diving into the sports business side of things. And to do that, as we return here to Honda Classic Live, I'm Ken Lavica, is our friend, the sports professor, Rick Harrow. He's the author of the book, The Sports Business Handbook. Get that wherever books are sold, not to mention mascotbooks.com. And he's my co-host Wednesday nights for The Boardroom, presented by the Honda Classic. And let's talk about the obvious thing to start with.
The Honda Classic. Our friend Ken Kennerly, executive director of the Honda Classic, he made the announcement on Honda Classic Live here on ESPN 106.3 Saturday morning that there is going to be fans, a reduced number of fans, but fans, and hospitality March 15th through the 21st at PGA National for the Honda Classic. And not only that, the PGA Tour has approved the Honda Classic's plans. I'm not surprised, because the Honda Classic is one of the premier events on the PGA Tour. I think the premier event in the Florida swing, and I'm not surprised that this early Ken Kennerly and company have their I's dotted, their T's crossed, and there's going to be fans here in Palm Beach County.
Well, and they should, because Ken and his people who have been involved in this, you know, the IMG side, the board of directors of the Honda Classic, his relationship with the Pro League Sports and Hollis Kavner. They all are golf professionals, and they know what to do to bring events into a community and preserve the economic impact. So this was well vetted at a time when Augusta National is going to bring back fans for the Masters, and we'll talk about that a little later in April. This becomes an event that fans will go to on a limited capacity, so people are still able to do business. They're able to stay in hotels. They're able to eat at restaurants. Now, not as many as normal, but certainly more than none. And we were all lucky last year. The Honda, it was kind of like the Ibis. It's the first one to leave and the last to come back.
Yep.
Last one with full fans, first one to come back in South Florida with a series of fans. And so it'll be a big deal. And, again, Ken Kennerly should be celebrated for this, even though he's not that good a tennis player.
just that little addendum there. Not that great at tennis. It really, to me, it just shows what the PGA Tour not only means to, or the Honda Classic means not only to the region, but what it means to the PGA Tour and how far this tournament has come, because it has become, it's got one of the largest hospitality setups in a typical year on the PGA Tour, period. That is extremely, extremely impressive. And the PGA Tour, if you're going to look at tournaments that you're going to want to have fans at in a responsible manner, I got to think the Honda Classic was near the top of that list. This was a priority, I would think, for the PGA Tour.
Well, and importantly for the community, let's look at what economic impact means, and this is obviously the major sporting event in Palm Beach County on a regular basis, not disrespecting spring training and all of the other stuff we have, equestrian and polo, and we'll get into that at the right time, but there is a understanding of what a mega event is, and it is instructive that Ken, you know, looks to other best practices around the country. I know he's spending a lot of time with the guys over in Phoenix. They're stripping down a little bit of what they are doing for the Waste Management Tournament Super Bowl weekend. But that, remember, is a huge spectator event. That 16th hole is probably one of the biggest spectator congregations in the history of golf on a regular basis. And it is interesting that, you know, Ken and his folks are in the same conversation about what to do as far as crowd management. That's how big the event has become, and it'll only get bigger.
The PGA Tour has voted to take away the 2022 PGA Championship from Bedminster in New Jersey. That is Donald Trump's course. Also, Turnberry overseas has been taken out of the Open Championship rotation. This in the wake of the insurrection on the U.S. Capitol last week, and the president in a little bit of hot water here in his final week and a half in office over what took place last Wednesday. Donald Trump has always been someone who has been a major part of golf. He had his tournament at Doral after some derogatory verbiage came out of his mouth in 2015. That tournament got taken off the schedule, and now two subsequent courses owned by Trump are not going to be a big part of major golf. How significant is this to the face of golf that Donald Trump is at least right now being shunned a bit?
Well, it's significant for a number of reasons. It's ironic, too, because the WGC event that was in Mexico City, the discussions are that it might be back in Florida, and, you know, wait to see those details. I know a lot about it. We'll talk about that at some point, but that was a Trump-Doral event for a while, and so I think the industry is bigger than one individual. That's what one argument should be, and then the other argument is that, you know, the quality of events is really important, but political stands are also important no matter what side sure. you're on and where things should go. And the majors in golf are always kind of a rallying point for business and otherwise. And you understand the decision, and we'll see how it impacts Donald Trump over time. But I think we talk about Donald Trump and golf in somewhat past tense. And also, if you're talking about the future, maybe it's 5-10 years off, but it's certainly not tomorrow.
That's going to do it for us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Sean Fairholm, Global Golf Post. Also, Rick Haro, the sports professor. And we will talk to you Wednesday for the Boardroom presented by the Honda Classic. And do it again next Saturday, 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Review the Sony Open And based on what we've seen the last couple of weeks, whatever may pop up in golf, it has been busy. I'm Ken Lavica. Have a great rest of your weekend. This has been Honda Classic Live on ESPN 106.3.